Welcome to Colts Monday Night, presented by Citizens Energy Group on 1070 The Fan and Country 97.1 Hank FM. From the Taco Bell studio, here's the voice of the Colts, Bob.
You're up.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Colts Monday Night with Bruce Arians on 1070 The Fan and Country 97.1 Hank FM. Subway would like to give away prize packages to the first five callers tonight. The number is 317-639-COLT. And during the second half hour of tonight's show, we'll be visiting with former Colts tight end Marcus Pollard. Marcus will share his thoughts on the Colts game yesterday with the Packers. But first, a guy who has had no sleep, and he's not even tired yet, Bruce Arians. Bruce, what a day yesterday. Emotions from one end of the spectrum to the other. But you guys saved the best for last.
Yeah, we took it from the top to the bottom and up and down the elevator twice, I think. Emotionally playing as probably as poorly offensively as the first half as we could, and then probably as good as we could play on in the second half as a team. And well, it was a great team win. Special teams played great. Defensively, we've got the big turnover to start the second half. And yeah, we're running on fumes right now, but it's going to be that way for about 12 more weeks.
Yeah, and there are no bye weeks between now and the end either. Yesterday, you mentioned the one half, not so good. The second half, very, very good. Everybody says you didn't say much in the locker room. What happened?
Well, just ask them, you know, why? You know, we had no reason to panic. We had a great plan. We had great practices. Why were we having so many mental errors and breakdowns? And, you know, a couple guys stood up and say it's time to stand up. Be accountable. And, you know, there was never a time for panic. And just, hey, we need something good to happen. Build on it. Get the snowball going. That's really all it was.
Was Gerard's interception the play that turned it around?
That was the play of the day. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to take it in and get a touchdown. And I think that got the guys believing they could do it. Took it right back down the field. And defense started getting off the field. And then offensively, we maintained possession of the football and did a real good job of scoring with almost every possession in the second half.
When you look at it, you were talking about the plays today, the 89 snaps from center, the most this franchise has ever had in a game. I think they had 88 twice. You needed every one of them.
We needed them all, yeah, and it was a long grading period this morning because, you know, really we had all those penalties, so it was about 100 snaps on the tape.
Yeah.
And, but to have, you know, to have the ball for 35 minutes was crucial in that game. We needed to make first downs, but not just hold on to it. You got to score points. When you're playing Aaron Rodgers, holding on to it's not going to do any good. He's going to get his points. You got to get yours. And we always talk about production time and offensive meetings that we want a point per minute. And we were down there on the first and goal on the four and kicked a field goal, or we'd have hit it right on the nose.
Mm-hmm. The game yesterday, it swung so many times. You're handling the handkerchief and everything else for the first time. How did you maintain your composure and be able to handle things the way you did?
Well, we got a great staff. You know, I didn't have to fool with the defense. You know, Greg and I were talking to maybe right at the end of the game, hey, let's go get him. You know, this kicker can make it from 60, so we got to get him. We got to go after him. We can't play soft, you know. And then they made a big play. But it was easy. I had a great – James Betcher upstairs giving me clock information and everything as far as replays. And just call the game. Try to keep your emotions under check as much as you can. And other than that, it was normal.
We won the game, so let's don't worry about one what if. On the pass that Andrew appeared to be throwing the football, they called it a fumble. And you talked today, he made a great play to get the ball out of bounds.
That was the play of the game offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, an unbelievable effort to go get that ball and knock it away from the guy and keep the drive alive. Maybe, you know, if we fumble there, and I don't think we could have overturned it. I think it was so close that they would have probably left it as a fumble.
Okay, that's where I was going to go. There wasn't enough evidence to see whether he was actually throwing the ball or not.
No, and at that point in time, you know, there's no way we could risk it, losing that timeout.
One of the things that I thought about today for maybe the second time, and I hadn't taken it really into perspective yesterday, your running game, 119 yards, and Donald Brown running the way he did yesterday was a huge key.
Oh, there was no doubt. That was the whole focus of the week, was to get in the no huddle, spread them out, and let Donald find some creases and use his speed. You know, we've been trying to pound him up inside because he really loves to run the powers and the counters. But we had to stretch that defense and try to make a crease here and there. The offensive line, God bless them. You know, we haven't had the same guys up there all year. And this crew jumped up there, and A.Q. Shipley and everybody else, Jeff Lickenbach, man, they just played their tails off.
A.Q. especially. There's a guy who's playing his second game, first as a starter, going up against Ryan Pickett and the rest of that bunch. That was a pretty tough assignment.
Oh, yeah, you know, they're a very complicated scheme. I mean, to just get the correct mic, which we didn't do a couple of times, but, I mean, he played his tail off. I was really, really proud of him. Just like those young corners, man, they played their tails off.
For you, what was it like going into that locker room after the game when you knew how much everybody had given and this time you got a reward for it?
Well, you know, personally, it felt like the world was lifted off my shoulders. We had to win that game, and the way it happened, I mean, it was storybook, and you can't put in words emotions and the elation of those players' faces and Mr. Irsay's face, everybody, Ryan, and the whole organization, what it meant to get that game ball down to the hospital, you know, and you know that last kick, and I think that last kick was missed because of the great effort that our defense gave on every extra point block and every other field goal block. We pressured him pretty good. Because he's a great kicker, you know, and but yeah, it was very, very special.
I should have asked before I ask. Have you been able to talk to Chuck and get his emotions after yesterday?
Yeah, I talked to him last night. Stood in line, you know. He had a lot of phone calls and a lot of guys talking to him he was happy. I mean, he was coaching his tail off in that hospital bed. I know, he was happy. And we've hit back and forth a couple times on Texas today, and see where we're going to go this week.
You said last week for the fans not to let the Cheeseheads take over the stadium. They tried, but they didn't get the job done. The hometown fans won out.
Yeah, they did, and you know, there was a couple of things I was a little upset about, but. You know, I grabbed that pink towel a couple of times. I looked up and they were sitting down. I said, it's not time to be sitting down now. Yeah. Don't worry about blocking anybody's view. Get up. Let's go. We need you. And then we had the ball. And I'm wondering what is all that noise, because I'm trying to talk to Andrew and I can't get the play in. And it was a tribute to Jeff Saturday, who's sitting over on their bench. I got a little upset with that one.
Yeah.
I love Jeff to death.
I do
that
too,
wasn't time for Jeff Saturday tribute.
This team is young. There's no question about it. You had such an emotional win yesterday. How do you get them back and in line for Wednesday and get after it to get ready for a Jets team? You don't even know who's going to be quarterback for New York.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one because, you know, we have a 24-hour rule. You sell, you know, whether win, lose, or draw, it's over in 24 hours. You go to the next one. And this team is too young to have a rearview mirror. We can't be looking back and patting ourselves on the back, especially. We got to go. We got to get ready. We know the foundation has been laid as far as schedules, practices, everything to get us prepared properly to go win a ball game. And it's going to be tough. It's hostile in New York. It's going to be a tough crowd. Hopefully we can, you know, get something going early.
Apparently Mr. Irsay's tweeted some things about some roster moves. Seth Olsen, who is playing guard for you on IR, and also waving Dominic Jones and bringing – Chris Adams back on the practice squad. Your line has been banged up all year. Is there a chance Joe Wrights gets back? Do you have that possibility?
We hope to get Joe on the practice field this week. Whether he could play in this game having that long of a layoff, but we need to get him out on the practice field and get him going. That's our goal and hope so that we can have him soon. Seth, we'll be able to bring back, I think, in 6 weeks off the special IR, and we needed to make room on the roster for some defensive linemen.
The guys yesterday, first of all, I talked to Feely this morning. He said he's great, but he's going to tell you that no matter what happens. But you had to play a little bit without Robert. You had to play a little bit without Feely, and yet with one exception, the defense got them off the field, not only off the field, but in a hurry.
Yeah, they were getting after it, and somebody was making a disruptive play every series. And that's what we got to be, a disruptive force out there. You know, Dwight, I give Dwight all the credit, man. He was humming out there with one leg, Robert on one leg, Corey on one leg. But even all the young guys, they were feeding off that energy and getting after the quarterback. And it was, like I said, that snowball effect with the crowd doing the great job that they did. It was what we needed. 12th man was awesome.
You're the offensive coordinator. Now you're acting as the head coach. The defense, Greg Minuski is a great friend and also a pretty darn good defensive coordinator. But did you even have time to watch and see what that defense was doing yesterday?
Oh, yeah. I don't spend a lot of time on our bench. I try to give a quick message. I let our coaches coach our guys. I'll have something to say to Andrew about what we're looking at next. I don't want to bother those guys. So it was easy for me to turn around, have full attention on the game, whether or not something critical was going to happen where we would have to make a decision.
Andrew Luck, 4 games. Almost every time you've had a 2-minute drill, he's gotten you into position to score points. And this is a tough league. Everybody's great, and mm-hmm. the Packers are one of the best. How is he handling this? How is he getting this done?
Well, he's mature beyond his years, and he came in with great resolve, and he's got the moxie it takes to play great quarterback. I mean, he's got the grit, that play we talked about, go and get the fumble, winking at the guy when he got the crap knocked out of him, you know? But he's tough. He's tough. He's smart. It's a great combination for a quarterback, and he can throw. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, it's the sky's the limit. With all these young guys offensively, we tailor everything more for them than for Andrew. We went to the no huddle. We practiced it hard, and I thought it was a really good addition to our offense.
I think it was 2 weeks ago when Chuck was here. I asked him about that, the no huddle coming out of the locker room. He said the problem was he didn't really know from week to week who the offensive line was going to be.
No.
You had the same problem. That it worked yesterday. It was just perfect. Those 5 guys, whoever you had out there, Hills played a play or two, and he just got here, I think. He just got off the bus, and he's out there, and they all played well yesterday.
Yeah, they did. I was really pleased with the execution and the communication and no huddle. Andrew did a great job of getting the play, getting the guys lined up, getting the motions called, getting the protections called. And then those 5 guys up front. No, 2 tight ends played their tails off. Those 2 rookies really were good, especially down in the red zone.
Yeah, Kobe, I think he had one get off his hands, one play, and then he came back and made 2 or 3 huge plays.
Yes, he did. And of course, Dwayne made the 2 diving catches down there. And, they're going to be outstanding.
You're listening to Colts Monday Night with Bruce Arians on 1070 The Fan, Country 97.1 Hank FM. Citizens Energy Group, proud to be the Colts conservation partner. For conservation tips, go to citizensenergygroup.com. Citizens Energy Group, we're all citizens. And are you a AAA fan of the game? Well, for info on how you can become the fan of the game, go to AAA.com/football or visit one of our 16 Central Indiana locations. Pagano's Playbook, brought to you by Citizens Energy Group. Reggie Wayne, 13 receptions, a career-high 212 yards, the second highest total in Colts history behind Hall of Famer Raymond Berry. That was back in 1957. He also wore orange gloves. He's not going to get fined for that.
I hope not. That would be ridiculous.
He could probably take up a collection from the fans yesterday and have no problem and be able to buy us dinner afterwards. That Reggie, of course, now has 100 consecutive games with a catch. He's also 75 touchdowns. He's tied with Edgerrin, or past Edgerrin, into 3rd place on the Colts list, and he's the number 2 Colts on the list for career yards from scrimmage. We will be back. You can tweet a question for Bruce Arians tonight. You can do that, facebook.com/Colts, or you can tweet the show directly at Pagano Show. Back in a moment. This is Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano's better half, Bruce Arians, on 1070 The Fan and Country 97.1 Hank FM. Colts fans, be sure to visit the Bud Light tailgate tent across the street just north of the stadium for pregame fun. $3 Bud Lights, and make the Bud Light tent your place before the game. Again, you can get your question to Bruce Arians. You can log on to facebook.com/Colts, or you can tweet the show directly at Pagano. The first question of the night comes from Joel. How do you get the team to believe in themselves for the rest of the year? I would think yesterday you probably didn't even have to say anything. They got a lot out of that.
No, that last 30 minutes of football, we set a standard now that of what we're capable of. Anything less is unacceptable. And that was the message today that, hey, we know we can play with the best teams in the league. Now we got to do it on the road. You know,
yeah.
At home, it's easy. But on the road, in a hostile environment, we got to be able to go out there and sustain what we had for the last 30 minutes of the game, because that was Colts football the way Chuck has always wanted it to be. Disruptive defense, time of possession offense, run pass, scoring points, and a great kicking game. So we need to take and learn from that, and it's easy. The guys have a great feeling right now.
We've talked a little bit about the run game, but the touchdown, Andrew's touchdown, was that a call play?
Yes, it was a design run, and he really missed. He misread. He followed the guard. Nobody touched him. But he put his head down and tried to run everybody over. And he laughed after the game. He said, that's the first time I ever spiked a ball in my life.
Well, he did it real well, I'll tell
yes,
you that.
And he went over and rubbed that Chuck Strong sign. That was awesome.
It's amazing how, and Chuck is certainly the head of this, but include yourself and the whole staff has come into this building and taken the building over and taken the city over. Just the way you react to things. No, as you mentioned, it's a family. You guys have coached together other places. You know each other. How much did that help? How did you get everything and Chuck get everything together as much as it is right now?
You got to give Ryan and Chuck a great deal of credit for putting that type of staff together, because the family was huge in the entire thing. Trust, respect, and loyalty, and you know, faith, family, and football. It is a group of guys that are really compatible. I mean, we all get along good. We've all had our scars from other places. You know, I've moved 14 times. Chuck's moved 11 or 12. You know, everybody's been fired and hired, and you know, so we love the game, and you can't have one guy that's going in a different direction. That one splinter that'll crack the floor.
Bruce, if you weren't coaching football, what would you do? Is there anything?
Oh, I'd be playing golf every day and learning how to fish.
You know, I should have known that. Chad calls in and wants to know, how do you exploit Donald Brown's speed? He did it pretty well yesterday.
Yeah, you just got to hit him. Gosh, we had him out there deep yesterday a couple of times, and you know, he cleared it out for all those balls Reggie were catching underneath. He was taking two guys out over the top, but we've got him on the double move and just missed him, Andrew. You know, he underthrew him in Chicago for an interception. Don't you ever do that again? But. And he laid it out there for him. We just couldn't quite hit it. But Donnie's going deep, I promise you, four or five times every game.
And he came close to making a Reggie catch on the one that got over his head.
Yeah, and I think the one down the sideline, it was definitely pass interference. But, you know, they didn't get the call when he reached in and locked his left arm. But he was behind him again, and Andrew put it right on the money. But, yeah, we got to keep that. Now, T.Y. with his speed, and he's healthy, puts another stretch on the other side of the defense.
For you, the comeback yesterday, we got a call from Colt 66. How does that game yesterday rank with you for all-time games?
Well, it was by far the most meaningful win I've ever had. I'm fortunate enough to have two Super Bowl rings, and, you know, Super Bowl 40 was special because you never think you're ever going to get one,
yeah.
You know. To have called the plays in Super Bowl 43 and have that two-minute drive with Santonio's catch and Ben's throw was really great. But this was by far the most emotional, meaningful win. Back to the days when I was the head coach at Temple and we beat Pitt for the first time in 45 years and on a huge upset, that those are probably the four biggest games of my life.
And isn't that true, the ones – it's not always the Super Bowl win. It might be, like in our case, the year we won it, the New England game and the AFC Championship game. Many times those games turn out to be bigger than the big game.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, I remember with the Steelers coming in here and upsetting the Colts to get to go to Denver to the AFC Championship game and thinking the game was over, and Jerome gets hit by Gary and boom, there goes the ball, and I'm thinking it's over. And Ben makes an unbelievable tackle to save that game. And But yeah, I mean, there's when you've been in as long as I have, you know, there's a lot of great memories. The relationships with coaches and players probably supersede the game, and for me, and the people in the building, I like to be a part of the whole organization and enjoy everyone in the building, wherever I work, and you know, that to me, that's the family part of it.
You got the Jets next week, and we talked a little bit about. We'll talk a little bit in a few minutes. You don't really know whether it's going to be Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow. Are you going to watch the game tonight? And if you do, can you watch it as a coach or a fan or both?
I hate watching it on television. You know, I'd rather have my clicker and be able to run it back and get the end zone copy. But, yeah, the to see what's going to happen with their offense, you know, they're outstanding defensively. And Rex has always had a great defense, and they're big and powerful up front. Great secondary, even without Darrell Revis. But what's going to happen so that we can prepare our young defense properly? You know, is it going to be Mark and that offense trying to run the ball with their play-action game, or is it going to be Timmy with the Wildcat?
And that does make a difference of how you defend.
It's huge. I mean, you really can't practice totally for both. You can sprinkle some in, you know, but – you know, I saw firsthand what could happen when he's playing really well in the playoff game last year when they upset us in Pittsburgh out in Denver.
Bruce, we've talked a little bit about the crowd, and we all know how much they can play. And when you go to a foreign venue and you're playing against that noise up there, do you change much in the way about how you prepare for those games?
Well, you have to be able to use a silent snap count because your tackles are not going to hear. Your tight ends and tackles just cannot hear. The other day, those tackles did a heck of a job, I thought, just getting on our guys, and they used a silent count. The crowd got, you know, that last possession where they had to use their timeout was because they couldn't hear. They're trying to audible. There's no way in heck they're going to hear anything. I mean, you can't even hear the guy next to you, let alone the quarterback 5 yards behind you. So, you got to get ready for the crowd noise, and then you want to do something early to get the crowd out of the game.
You mentioned a little bit, too, win on the road. It's tough to do, but that can give this young team a lot of confidence if you can get one away from here.
Yeah, we need to badly because we gave a home game away, you know, that Jacksonville game. And like I said, no rearview mirrors, but we got to go out and get one and get up on the plus side of the ledger and get to 3-2.
Bruce, as always, we thank you for the time. This is always a lot of fun, and I know you're enjoying it today, tomorrow. I don't think anybody in the building better mention Green Bay. They better be talking about another green team, the Jets. Thanks very much for the visit, and thank you for being where you are. And when you talk to him, give Chuck our best.
I sure will. Appreciate you.
All right, that's Bruce Arians. You're listening to Colts Monday Night with Bruce sitting in for Chuck on 1070 The Fan, Country 97.1 Hank FM. We'll be back with a special guest. We'll also hear from Marcus Pollard. We've got a lot of things coming up in just a moment. Back in a moment on 1070 The Fan and Country 97.1 Hank FM. Welcome back to Colts Monday Night on 1070 The Fan and Country 97.1 Hank FM. Time for the Red Gold Zone Efficiency Report. Yesterday, the Colts got there five times, scored three touchdowns. And the Red Gold, the Indiana producer, manufacturer of premium quality tomato products since 1942, is proud to donate canned tomato products to Indiana food pantries for each successful trip to the Red Gold Red Zone. A couple of notes on the second half yesterday. You know, you look back on it, and it was as it was happening, you don't get a chance to focus on everything that happened in that last 30 minutes of the game. Keep in mind, the Colts go into this third quarter down 21-3 against one of the really powerhouse teams in the National Football League. Each team had eight possessions in the second half. Green Bay got one touchdown and missed a two-point conversion. The seven other possessions, they either turned it over, went out on downs, and punted, or missed field goals. One out of eight they got points on. The Colts had the ball eight times, scored three touchdowns, kicked two field goals, had one interception, and the Packers couldn't do anything with it, got no points out of it. The Colts punted only one time, and the last possession, the eighth possession, was Andrew Luck with 67,000 people screaming in his ear, taking a knee, and killing the last 3 seconds of the game. That's an incredible turnabout for this team. And as Bruce said, you got to keep going. This is just one game. By Wednesday, nobody's talking about Green Bay. Everybody's talking about the Jets. Again, the roster moves that the Colts made today. Seth Olsen, who has been bothered by an injury for the last two games, is on injured reserve. But as Bruce pointed out, the Colts can bring him back in 6 weeks if he's the one they choose to bring back early off of IR. Chris Adams, the tall receiver who had a really good training camp, caught two balls in Chicago in game number one. He is back on the practice squad. The Colts have waived Dominic Jones. So that's what's going on as far as the Colts are concerned at the moment. The key is getting to the Jets, getting some people healthy. And again, coming off the bye week, I think every one of us thought that we'd get more people back than not. But Dwight Freeney's presence paid dividends right away. He and Robert Mathis, neither one of them had ever had a sack against the Green Bay Packers. Both of them got one yesterday. That is 51 different quarterbacks and 27 different teams that have felt the wrath of number 93. He's got 103.5 sacks in his career now. And if you can keep him healthy with what Robert is doing, Robert's had a sack in 7 straight games. His career high is 8 straight games. The record is 9, and that's held by Dwight Freeney. So the Colts tandem is really getting after it. Robert is right there at 90 sacks in his career. So he's having a great start to this year and loving where he's playing. Hey, everything you need to start your day off right. Weather, traffic, developing news, Wish TV's Daybreak, a better way to start your day. Also, the Colts would like to visit, like you to visit the Bud Light Party Zone at Lucas Oil Stadium, right above the north end zone, in front of the windows that open to the skyline. Bud Light, sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And make your energy bill this winter with interactive tips to weatherize your home at Vectren.com. Vectren, live smart. It's time for our Go Further feature presented by WGU Indiana, the 8th State University. Reggie Wayne, I don't know how much further he can go than yesterday. 13 catches, 212 yards, and the game-winning touchdown. All right, we'll be back with our special star of the game coming up in just a moment. You're listening to Colts Monday Night with Bruce Arians sitting in for Chuck Pagano on 1070 The Fan and Country 97.1 Hank FM. Welcome back to Colts Monday Night. Chuck Pagano not here. Bruce Arians was. I hope you got a chance to listen to that segment of the show. Bruce is a very honest guy and a very, very good coach. And talking to Ryan Grigson the other day, who spent a lot of time in Philadelphia, coaching Temple, particularly when Bruce did it, was a very, very tough job. And he turned in a winning effort, including, as he mentioned, beating Pittsburgh for the first time in 40-plus years when Temple did that when Bruce was the head coach. He has been an offensive coordinator here, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. He's done a fabulous job everywhere he's been. For those of you who weren't in town at the time, Bruce started way back in the 1998 era with Peyton Manning and was the quarterback coach back then and did a phenomenal job getting Peyton ready to go, and you know what the rest of that story is. He's done a fabulous job, along with everybody else on the staff, with Andrew Luck. Andrew has come in here and been very, very good. Yeah, as he said this afternoon, you know, there are a lot of things he can work on, a lot of things he can get better on. But what he did yesterday, and again, I've said it several times today, if you were there yesterday, you are never going to forget that. If you weren't, you should have been. It's just a fantastic thing that happened. To win a game that way is one thing. To beat one of the best teams in the league that way is incredible. And as I just pointed out in the last segment, the domination in that second half. On the scoreboard, it was 27-6. But when you look at it, and the Packers score on only 1 out of 8 possessions, and the Colts get 5 scoring drives, 1 punt, and 1 drive at the end of the game, and that was the domination that the Colts had. And again, if you didn't see it in person, maybe on television, Reggie Wayne's performance, I don't remember ever seeing a receiver do that in a game. Raymond Berry in what they call the greatest game ever played with John Unitas was pretty good. I don't remember him being any better than Reggie was yesterday. The tough catches. Keep in mind, the guy on him most of the second half was Charles Woodson. Are we joined by Marcus now? Marcus Pollard is with us. Marcus, how are you?
Hey, Bob. Doing good.
We cut your time short last week, so we're going to make you earn your money this week.
Okay.
Obviously, you saw that yesterday. You've been involved in a lot of them when Peyton was here. By the way, Bruce Arians said to say hello. But he was talking about Bruce yesterday. He was phenomenal. The whole club was. But you've been involved in those games, and to see what happened yesterday, did it bring back some good memories?
It did. I was reminded, and Bruce was a part of the one game that we played in 98, and I think we were playing the Jets. And Peyton marched down the field, and I think I ended up scoring a game-winning touchdown with a matter of seconds left to beat the Jets at our place. And to me, that reminded me of that whole feel that Andrew had in that last drive yesterday. It really came out and threw the ball well, got us in the right play. The run game was effective, and it just marched right down the field and scored. And you were talking about Reggie Wayne. What a great day he had as well.
And you know something, the two guys playing your position, Kobe Fleener, Dwayne Allen, both contributed heavily yesterday.
Yes, good to see the tight ends get involved. Two young guys who can really make plays. I think they combined for 9 catches and a touchdown. Almost 100 yards. And so that was great to see the tight ends get involved, those young guys. And to me, it's always going to be an outlet for Andrew to check down to. Although he had Reggie Wayne 13 times yesterday to find those two tight ends. It's good to see.
By the way, you can get involved. You can talk with Marcus. Our phone number is 317-639-COLT. He caught 13 balls. They threw it to him 20 times yesterday. And that in itself is remarkable. And the Colts had the most plays they've had ever with 89. 23rd down opportunities yesterday. It was the ball possession for the Colts was incredible yesterday.
To me, it really is an attribute to Bruce Arians and his offense and the way Andrew is really responding to it. I think he threw it 55 times, and I didn't know had 89 plays of offense. That is incredible. But to me, that's also offense keeping the ball, but defense every time that Green Bay had it, defense said, no, you're not going very far. You're about to get it back to our offense. And when they got it back to the offense, it really made some great plays to keep the ball rolling.
You've been a young player in the league. You've been on teams that have been relatively young. You have a big win like this. Sometimes the tendency is to treat that as if it's going to be that easy every week. Not that yesterday was easy, but you got a W. You really got to shake that off and begin working for the Jets game as soon as you can. Maybe today, certainly tomorrow.
Definitely by tomorrow. Spent a little bit of time in New England, and that was one of the things that Belichick really harped on, is that learn how to handle success. So a lot of young people can't handle success, and when you start playing well, as we did yesterday, it's easy to think, well, every week is going to be this easy. We just beat the Green Bay Packers. They're a very good team. And it doesn't happen that way. Same thing as if you lose. You have to bounce back, figure out what you did wrong, fix it. And if you're doing a lot of stuff right, continue to do stuff that you did right. But you have to forget about that big win was huge for us and figure out how to beat the Jets this week at home or on the road.
Marcus, that's the thing. The Colts right now have lost 9 straight games on the road dating back to last year. Getting a win as soon as you can on the road is huge, especially for this young team.
I think so, Bob. I think so. Especially, you know, a team like the Jets, to me, they've been one of those landmark teams that are there year in and year out. Young quarterback right now, he's struggling. And Sanchez, the defense, they lost a very good player in Revis. So, to me, not saying that they're for the picking, but I think if we go there and play well, I think it'll give us a lot of confidence in checking out this monkey of not having a road win in 9 games.
You know, we're a quarter of the way through the season. Antoine Bethea brought it up today. They're 500. Which is not a bad way to start the season, 2-2, but you're getting better. I think this quarter you've got the Jets on the road. You come home to play Cleveland, go to Tennessee, and then wind up the next 4 games playing Miami here. It's a chance to get healthy, but you've got to play one game at a time. I just looked ahead, but you, as a player, you can't do that.
You really can't. You really have to take each week as a separate, really like a playoff game. To me, that's the best part about pro football. Every game is a playoff implications. And so if we go to New York and beat them and then just take one game at a time, whether it's Miami, whether it's Tennessee, whether it's Cleveland, and come out and take each game as a playoff-type game and do our best, I think we're only going to get better. And that's what the best part about being 2-2 at this point. I see us getting better and better every week. The run game is starting to come around. The defense played tremendous yesterday. Corey Redmond is leading those guys. And Andrew throwing it 55 times. I think he had one pick. To me, that is huge. And so if we can continue to keep doing those kinds of things, I think the sky's the limit for us.
The offensive line yesterday, there were four sacks, but when you look at them, one was a placement of the ball. It looked like he had gained a half a yard, which would have negated a sack. So that one really didn't matter. One was when, and Bruce said he probably couldn't have overturned the call, but it was a fumble that the Colts got back. And then there were two others. The offensive line has been just decimated with injuries this year, but they're playing pretty well up front right now.
Playing pretty well. I was really impressed, you know, with the run game. To me, that's been a glaring factor for me when I'm examining the game, is that the run game wasn't there. But yesterday, it's starting to come around, and especially as beat up as we've been on the offensive line, having to put guys in different spots and fill in here and take this guy and put him over there. We played pretty well, and that's the one thing that I also can see, too. We're starting to come around on that offensive line, giving Andrew more time, make some holes for Brown in the backs, and giving Andrew more time to throw the ball. So I think that whole offensive line is starting to gel and starting to come around.
Stay where you are, Marcus. We're going to come back. I want your call on how you figure this happened. None of us can. When on that last drive, Andrew had two guys hanging all over him. Somehow he wriggles three and throws a dart to Reggie for a first down. How'd he do it? Answer that when we come back. Hey, order Colts Combo from Papa John's. Any large pizza up to five toppings and a 2-liter for only $12. Log on to papajohns.com and order today. Visit Colts.com to view the most recent feature of Instant Access presented by Exact Target, powering real-time connections. And by the way, you can talk to Marcus yourself, 317-639-COLT, 317-639-COLT. The Drive of the Game, sponsored by Tom Wood Lexus at 96th and Keystone, who invites you to test drive a Lexus today.
Andrew Luck takes the snap, sets up, looks. He throws, caught by Reggie. Did he get in? Yes!
Give it to him!
Yes! Yes! He got in. Reggie, now they're going to review this.
Oh, he got in, though. The referee was right on top of it and saw it.
Yep.
Reggie caught it, spun around, and stuck the ball out. All you have to do is touch the very front part of it.
And that score stood up. Donald Brown got in for a two-point conversion, and the Colts wound up winning the game 30-7. We'll take your calls. Marcus Pollard rejoins us in just a moment. You're listening to Colts Monday Night with Bruce Arians sitting in for Chuck Pagano on 1070 The Fan and Country 97.1 Hank FM. Welcome back to Colts Monday Night. Bruce Arians sat in for Chuck Pagano in the first half hour on 1070 The Fan and Country 97.1 Hank FM. Marcus Pollard's on the other end of the line, and we've been talking a little bit about the game, and Marcus, Steve is on the line and has a question for you. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, thanks, Bob, and thanks, Marcus. I had three quick things. One, I wanted to say it was a great game. I think we all enjoyed it, and I just mimic what others have said. I also wanted to say thanks to Marcus for the part that he's played as in the Colts family and how much we appreciated watching him and really seeing his time on the field. But what I wanted to get to was in Marcus's role in high school football, he's really an educator, and I wanted to know what kind of insights he shares with the high school students, both those that might play at the next level and also maybe more importantly, those that won't.
That is a great question. First of all, thank you very much for remembering my football play with the Colts and keeping me a part of the family. I always feel once a Colt, always a Colt, and that came from Mr. Ursay, so I'm honored, and thank you for that. But what I tell my guys in high school is that our biggest thing is we want them to be better people leaving high school than they were coming to us. So we really concentrate on them as people, how they are in the community, their grades, respect for other people. And the football stuff will come. That'll happen naturally because they're athletic, they're gifted, and they wouldn't be playing football if they didn't enjoy it. So we want them to be bigger and better people leaving high school, going to college and making college a better atmosphere and a better place to enjoy and better themselves.
Marcus, you were a tight end and a very, very good one. When you watch Kobe and Dwayne play, what do you see as a guy who played that position before?
Really, I see Ken Dilger and myself for more than just obvious reasons. Very two talented guys. Allen is more like myself, shifty, H-back, can move around a little bit more. But both guys are very talented. Both can catch the ball. Both can run. And so when you get that kind of talent at both your tight end positions, one and two, it makes it tough for defense to have to play against you. Both guys can really stretch the field. And I'm really impressed at how well they finish blocks. I've been that's the one thing that I had a hard time early in my career on, is blocking. But these guys really finish blocks, and I've been impressed by them.
Mark, as we tease this section of the show with what happened yesterday with Andrew in the grasp of two Packers, two big guys, and somehow he wriggles free and then throws a dart to Reggie for a first down. How do people do that?
You know, to me, it's just something that's inside of each guy. Andrew figured, I mean, he was the first overall pick in the draft. And to me, he's been proven why he should have been in the draft, because he's making plays like that every Sunday. But to me, that point in the game was huge. To get out of that, those two guys about to get him down on the ground and still make a great throw to Reggie and to get it across the goal line was phenomenal. But to me, it really takes something, an individual effort, to make a play like that.
And the other thing, and Bruce talked about it in the first part of the show, he got hit early in the game. It was reminiscent of Peyton's hit by Willie McGinnis back in his rookie year, where it appeared to really shake Peyton up, and he had the presence of mind to call a timeout. Andrew didn't do that. He winked at the guy and got back up and got into the huddle. How he does that, I don't know. But this guy, Andrew Luck, has the potential to be an outstanding player in this league, doesn't he?
I think so. I think he's got all the moxie, all the tools, all the fortitude. He's smart. He's tough. To get whammed like that, get up, pat the guy on the behind and say, wink at him and tell him, come again. I mean, that's what boxers do. And to me, if you can stand up and take a punch like that and get up and throw your own punch, to me, he's got all the attributes and the qualities to being one of the best ever to put on a uniform.
So was Marcus Pollard when he played here. No one remembers you were a great basketball player. They remember you were a great tight end. But thanks for the visit again, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, that's Marcus Pollard. Hey, Vectren offers cash rebates when you replace your old appliances with energy-efficient models. Learn more at Vectren.com. Vectren, live smart. Time for the Grow Up Great Rookie Report, brought to you by PNC Bank. Who grew up yesterday? Andrew Luck. What a great finish. The Colts win it by the score of 30-27. Like to thank the folks at Subway for donating prizes for the Colts giveaway package given away at the beginning of the show. Don't forget, next Monday we'll do it at the same time, 6 to 7, right here on 1070 The Fan and Country 97.1 Hank FM.